Studio Channel Islands is a nonprofit organization dedicated to advancing the creative life of Old Town Camarillo and the communities within Ventura County, fostering connections between artists and visitors, and celebrating the cultural identity of our community. Ongoing programs including Artists in Residence Open Studios, Arts Education Classes, diverse Blackboard Gallery exhibitions, cultural events, festivals, poetry, comedy, and much more. Come visit Studio Channel Islands, located at 2222 East Ventura Boulevard in Camarillo, or call 805-383-1368. You may also visit StudioChannelIslands.org for more info about events or view collections or artists.
Diana J. Anthony of Big Rich Realty and Bolt Equities Incorporated is a hardworking broker with 23 years of experience in Ventura County from Westlake to Carpinteria. Experience isn't expensive, it's priceless. Diana started a real estate career in Hawaii and then in Malibu. Her specialties are educating buyers and sellers about the pitfalls in this ever-changing market. Additionally, she has extensive experience with short sale transactions, foreclosures, commercial, and investment property. When you hire Diana, you will be gaining a friend for life with a heart of gold and a world of knowledge. Visit her website, dianajanthony.net, or call 805-340-6135. That's 805-340-6135. California BRE 01190308.
Ventura Water is dedicated to providing our community with quality water and wastewater services 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We've been delivering drinking water from local sources since 1923, cleaning wastewater for more than a century, and preventing stormwater pollution for the past two decades. Ventura Water, a trusted life source for generations. For more information about Ventura Water, visit us at www.venturawater.net or call 805-667-6500. That's 805-667-6500. What does it mean to be human? Award-winning playwright Nick Payne of Constellations explores this question in the West Coast premiere of Incognito, playing at Rubicon Theater September 13th through October 1st. Directed by Indie Award-winning director Catherine Farmer of the Niebrock Trilogy, Incognito received an Outer Critics Circle Award nomination for Outstanding New Off-Broadway Play last year. Incognito will leave you thinking and feeling long after seeing this profoundly touching drama. Incognito runs Wednesdays through Sundays. For tickets, call 805-667-2900, 667-2900, or go to RubiconTheater.org.
Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now, here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. And of course, we're so glad that you are here starting your day in a positive way. And of course, we always like to start with something uplifting. Be somebody who makes everybody feel like a somebody. With that, we are going to talk with lots of great people today. And I have the president and CEO of Susan G. Komen, Dr. Judith Salerno, and then next, Dr. Adam Price with his book, He's Not Lazy. That's another great book. And also Pam Farrell, and her book is Seven Skills for Every Woman, Success at Keeping It All Together. With that, I hope that you join us. Our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. I also want to say, if you have a business or a event, we'd love to have you share it on our show. And please give us a call or email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. I just want to remind you that we are here all the way till 8 o'clock.
And of course, you never know what we're going to be talking about. And of course, as October approaches, National Breast Cancer Awareness Month is in October, and I have talked to her before. She is amazing and interesting, and of course, we're talking about the president and CEO of Susan G. Komen, and I'd love to share this with all of you, so I hope that you stay with us throughout our show, and of course, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life, right here in the 805. Let's welcome Dr. Judith Salerno, and of course, again, she is president and CEO of Susan G. Komen, and thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Kim. Glad to be here.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself, your vision, and of course, then we'll walk into the goals for Susan G. Komen going forward.
Well, you know, I came to Susan G. Komen 3 years ago, and my background, I'm a medical doctor, and I've worked in a lot of underserved communities, particularly in the Washington, D.C. area, and I've also done research at the NIH. And been involved in health policy. And when I came to Komen, I saw that all of those things that I had been involved with in my life were here at this organization. And this organization was moving forward on all those fronts to make a difference and to achieve our vision of a world without breast cancer. We've never wavered from that, and we're now entering our 35th year. And we have goals that are bigger and bolder than ever, and we know that we can make a difference putting an end to this disease.
Wow, okay. I mean, that's so promising. And now I know that we're finding better treatments and for the most aggressive forms of disease, right, and ensuring equal access to them. A lot of it, you know, before if we couldn't afford it, then it was like, okay, now, you know, basically you've written your own letter. And now with Susan G. Komen, everybody's able to be a part of this nonprofit, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, we put out in the last week a bold new goal, and that is that we believe that we can reduce the current number of deaths from breast cancer in the U.S., which is 40,000, over 40,000 people every single year dying from this disease here in this country. We can reduce it by half in the next 10 years. And we can do this by focusing our research on cancers that kill, as you noted, and by providing equal access to highest quality care. And this is something that we have worked toward, but we now know that we need, that this is the path forward to making that reduction in numbers of deaths per year from this disease. And we're determined to do it, and we're determined to do it within a decade.
Wow. Okay. So again, I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us, I'm so glad that you're starting your day in a positive way here on the Kim Pagano Show, where we talk about the brighter side of life. And of course, we are talking about Susan G. Komen. We've got Dr. Judy Salerno on, and of course, she is the president and CEO. Now, what are the, you know, how are we lowering the survival rates from, I mean, is there a difference between African-American and underserved women as opposed to just, you know, the average woman that's able to get to the doctors?
Well, yeah, there are a lot of disparities in breast cancer outcomes in our country, but probably no more significant than in the African-American community. African-American women are 40% more likely to die of this disease than white women. And there are lots of reasons for this.
Please help us with that, yeah.
Sure. Well, women are diagnosed, African-American women, at a more advanced stage of the disease, at a younger age, and with more aggressive forms of the disease. But they don't always have access in particularly many of our metropolitan areas in the country, to not only high-quality care, but timely care, because we know that getting into treatment once you have a diagnosis really matters and affects your outcomes. So what we've done is just last week launched a African American Health Equity Initiative where we're investing $27 million in reducing these disparities in 10 urban areas across the U.S. where the disparities are the greatest. And Los Angeles is one of them, where women are 55% more likely, African American women, more likely to die of breast cancer than white women in your area.
Wow.
So one of our focuses is the Los Angeles area, and we're determined to make a difference there.
So, Dr. Salerno, let me ask you a question. If somebody was diagnosed and they have their insurance and, you know, they're going through their doctors, would they still come to Susan G. Komen?
Well, you know, we're there for anyone who needs help, whether it be information, help with financial assistance. But, you know, but clearly there are some women who don't even get to the stage where they're diagnosed. They might find a lump and they're afraid that it might be breast cancer, or they don't have the resources to get the appropriate diagnostic treatment. And we want to make sure we're there to make sure that they don't fall through the cracks.
And we don't go through this alone.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And we know it makes a difference, too. We know that navigating patients through a very complex healthcare system actually works, helps people get the timely, high-quality care they need.
So with that being said, you know, community health resources, where can, and women and men, you know, I'm very involved with a lot of these. I was part of the Susan G. Komen down in Dodger Stadium. I'm the honorary chair for Making Strides Against Breast Cancer. There's a lot of men that are being diagnosed, and I know that's not as publicized, but where can they go for support through your organization?
Thank you, first of all, for your support for our cause, because
Thank
it's
you.
The cause of people everywhere, not just women, you're right. There are over 4,000, about 4,400 men each year with a new diagnosis of breast cancer. So,
and you know what's interesting? I want to like just stop you on that. It's funny. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm getting older or, you know, the circle of life is getting smaller, because you realize, I remember years ago saying, I don't really know anybody. And then it was one of my best friends, and then it was one of my uncles, and then it was, and it just, I don't know if it's like just more prevalent, or you start to hear more and people are very open about sharing what's going on in their life.
I think it's probably all of those factors that, you know, when we started in business 35 years ago, you didn't talk about breasts, or much less breast cancer, in polite company.
No.
But now, you know, we talk freely and openly and on the airwaves like now about this disease. So we're expanding people's understanding of the disease and the need for screening and their risk factors. But, you know, we still have a lot of work to do, because there's still stigma around this disease in certain communities. There's fear. There is anxiety about whether, you know, if they had a cancer, whether they would be able to take the time off of work, have someone to watch their children while they receive treatment, all these sorts of things. And we want to remove those barriers, those obstacles to getting care for everybody, men, women, and really support families who need that treatment and aren't getting it now.
Wow, yeah. Now, let's talk about this for a second, and I so appreciate you being here and sharing this with my show and my listeners. Prevention. What steps can, you know, as men and women, I'm really going to start including men, because I've heard such amazing stories, and men aren't, you know, I want to piggyback on both of this. Women take care of their whole family, and sometimes we're last on our list, and yet men think, I don't have a problem, don't worry about me. You know, and then go to the doctor. So there's like, you know, it's the worst of both evils. But what steps can we take to reduce our risks?
Well, I think that men and women, first off, can you know you're normal. Know what's normal for your body. And, you know, if you find something that's changed, whether it be a lump, discharge from your nipple, a thickening in the skin. I had a friend who recently found a little shadow when looking in the mirror, and it turned out to be a breast cancer that she just noticed when she looked at herself in the mirror. And, you know, just know you're normal, and then go and get it checked.
Right.
And if you know something's not right, don't take no for an answer. Say, I need to know what this is that's causing these changes in my body. Know your family history. Very, very important, because while not, you know, most breast cancers are not inherited, that 7 to 10% of breast cancers are. But you also were learning much more about risk factor genes that might not be determinative of, you know, that you will get breast cancer or you have a high likelihood, but are increasing your risk. So know about those factors, know about your family history, and talk about your physician with your physician about when you might need genetic screening. And then, of course, you know, get screened. Women particularly, you know, should talk about when they need to get their first mammogram. But it doesn't let them off the hook for knowing their own normal before they might be of screening age. And then, of course, healthy lifestyle. Weight, we know that obese women, overweight women after menopause have a higher risk of breast cancer. Physical activity, limiting alcohol, these sorts of things. We know that breastfeeding can reduce your risk of developing breast cancer later. And so, you know, all of these things taken together can reduce your risk. As of yet, we don't have a way of preventing breast cancer, but we can certainly minimize our risk by paying attention to our bodies, our history, and doing the right things for our health.
I love all that, and that truly is, you know, like you said, we can't change it, but we can guide it. And we can support our bodies so that we can be our best. And, of course, that's what we really want to do. So reduce their risk, reduce whatever we can to make our lives. I always say we don't want to leave any life on the table. So I thank you so much. Where can all of my listeners find out more information?
Well, a couple sources. We have 100 affiliates throughout the U.S., and we have a very active affiliate in the Los Angeles area, which covers a large part of Southern California. And we have actually 7 affiliates in the state of California. You can connect up with the resources in your community through our helpline, which is 1-877-GO-COMAN. That's 1-877-465-6636. And they can answer your questions. They can link you up with your local community resources and our affiliates who are there, ready, willing, and able to help. But we also have a wonderful website, Komen.org. That's K-O-M-E-N.org. And we have lots of information about breast cancer, screening, the latest research, and what you can do to act to help put an end to this disease.
There you go. And I do want to remind all of our listeners, you know, if, please God, you're not going through this, somebody else is, and, you know, all they're asking for is your time. And, you know, I just wrote an article in one of our magazines out here. And, you know, be that miracle. If somebody's going through it, a lot of times they don't have family. They don't have, you know, they can't even think of making a dinner for their family. They don't, you know, life isn't normal. And so anything that you can do to show up in their life without asking, because, you know, most of these people that are going through are type A personalities. They don't know how to ask for help. And so just show up in their lives and make a difference. And of course, this is another great thing. If you are going through it, definitely reach out to Susan G. Komen. And there's so many amazing things that can impact your life and your families. So with that, I thank you so much, Dr. Judith Salerno. Thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.
Thank you, Kim. Such a pleasure to be here.
You got it. You have a really great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. All through my city, all through my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
Everybody loves hot, fresh, and delicious kettle corn. One of Kim's favorites is California Kettle Corn, family owned and operated since the summer of 2007. Every golden kernel of this superior quality popping corn is American grown in the Midwest and hand popped with care in California. You can find this amazing kettle corn being freshly popped at fairs, farmers markets, local events, and at the Newberry Park Shop. Come try a truly unique kettle corn experience with high quality kernels. California Kettle Corn, hand popped and homemade. We love it and know you will too. Book your next event. Call 805-715-1500. That's 805-715-1500.
Kiwanis Club of Thousand Oaks presents the 6th Annual Brew Fest. You'll never have more fun donating to charity than at the Thousand Oaks Brew Fest. Experience over 19 craft breweries, along with local restaurants and live music by the well-known Southern California band Injun. This exciting event takes place at the Conejo Creek North Lakeside Park, a relaxing oasis behind the well-known Thousand Oaks Library, and the perfect location to enjoy your afternoon. Come join us for some amazing craft beer and meet local brewers that put their heart and soul into making the best beers in the county. We look forward to seeing you there. For more information, visit www.tobrewfest.com. That's www.tobrewfest.com.
Does Pizza Man Dan deliver beer and wine to your house?
Yes.
Beer?
Yes.
And wine?
Yes.
To your house?
Yes.
PizzaManDans.com?
Yes.
Tequila?
No, no tequila.
Cerveza!
PizzaManDans.com. Ventura County's Mortgage Couch strives to identify the best wholesale lender for their clients. Their ultimate goal is to help families move into their dream home, fix their home, and refinance their home. Whether you're looking for the best possible terms or a specific lender to accommodate a unique situation, Mortgage Couch has the resources and expertise to meet every need. Apply for your loan today. Please call 805-676-0377. That's 805-676-0377. Or visit their website at www.mortgagecouch.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
My next guest is Dr. Adam Price. And, of course, we're talking about something that's very interesting since I have actually two sons. And many men of my listeners out there have boys that they think maybe aren't going to end up being something amazing. I believe differently because, one, I believe there's many ways and many streets to success. And we have Dr. Adam Price today talking about one of his new books, He's Not Lazy, Empowering Your Son to Believe in Himself. I love this. Welcome, Dr. Price, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about who you are and obviously why you wrote about this.
Yes, absolutely. I'm a clinical psychologist. I work with kids, adolescents, and adults. I'm on the opposite coast. I'm in the New York area. I've been doing this for 25 years, and I've seen so many teenage boys over the years that come in because their parents tell me they're not living up to their potential. They're worried about their futures. They're worried about their ability to succeed. As early as middle school, they're thinking about what college is my kid going to get into. And I'll tell you,
isn't that a lot of pressure just to start off with for these boys?
This is what's happened over the years, Kim. What I have found is that there's so much more pressure, not just on boys, but on girls as well. The expectations are higher. I spoke to a kindergarten teacher who told me this anecdote 20 years ago when she started teaching. Little kindergartners had to be able to count from 1 to 10.
That was their biggest expectation.
Now it's from 1 to 100.
Oh, my gosh. So much pressure.
Yeah. That's just a small example.
And so, you know, I know for ourselves, and I'm just going to say you and I, since we're talking, but I'm sure my listeners are going to think the same thing. The more pressure and the more expectation you have, we want to shut down. And is that what these boys are doing?
I think that's exactly what happens. And it comes at a time when that's a teenage boy's best favorite coping response is avoidance. So I call it opting out, because when the pressure gets too high, when the expectations are they feel they can't meet, then they opt out of the competition altogether. They fly under the radar. They may be getting C's, maybe a B here, maybe a D there, but only enough to be able to just make it.
Yeah, because they don't believe in themselves. And I'm going to say I'm an offender. If one of my sons was listening right now, he'd be like, Mom, see, because when I think that he's doing really good, I'm like, oh, my God, you're doing so good. You could do. And he's like, I'm only doing good in this. Like, can you just let me, because we think bigger, better, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I'll tell you a funny story. There's a young man that I talked to recently, and when he was in high school, his parents were very concerned he wasn't doing well in school, and so they had him move his computer to the dining room table. And he said, I'll do that, but only if I can turn the screen away from you. And so they met him halfway. And then he opened the credenza behind him so that they didn't know. His genius parents couldn't figure out that he was doing this because he didn't want them to see the reflection of the computer in the glass. Smart kid. He wasn't doing his homework. I spoke to that young man the other day. He called me. He said, Dad, I'm a graduate student at UCLA.
Wow. You know, I think it's like we have to come in our own, right? In our own speed, in our own. So how do we, as parents, and of course, even, you know, for our teens and maybe, you know, our listeners that go, wow, okay, that's me. It's way too much pressure. How do I, sometimes it's, you know, it's interesting. I talk about this and I write about it. Just being, right? How do we just let them be with not letting them fall back too far, because we're only trying to be their best parent and be on their team?
Well, and, you know, you may be interested in this, Kim, because what I find happening is something that I call the paradoxical response. And what happens is that parents they don't let their kids just be. They get so, and for good reason, they get so worried, they get so anxious because they feel the pressure, they feel the expectations as well. They're worried about the kids getting into college and making a life for themselves. So they nag and they prod and they become helicopter parents. And what happens is it produces the opposite response. That's the paradox. It produces a kid who's even more unmotivated, more of Mr. Bare Minimum. And this is why this happens. It's because, as I said at the outset, these kids aren't lazy. They do want to do well in school. They're just conflicted about it. You know, when they come into therapy and they talk to me, they tell me they want to do better. They have the values that their parents have been trying to teach them all these years, even though it doesn't seem like it.
Right, wow.
When you have mixed feelings, you know, we call that ambivalence. You have two sets of feelings. And when you have them just within yourself, you flip-flop between, should I go to the movies? Should I not go to the movies? Should I eat that piece of cake? Should I not eat that piece of cake? But when it's shared between two people, the feelings actually flip-flop between those two people. So a young married couple that's about to have a baby, the mom says, yeah, I'm all ready to have a baby. Let's go decorate the nursery. The father's like, no, I'm not ready. As soon as he decides he's ready, whoa, then it gets a little scary for the mom because now she has to face her own feelings of fear. When it's between a parent and a teen, the parent ends up holding all the feelings of you got to do better, you're not doing well enough, you're not going to be successful. So then the teen doesn't have to. The parent owns all of the conflict. The teen doesn't have to have the conflict. So then they can be rebellious. They can think, I'm too cool for school. You know, I'm not going to be one of those nerds that studies all the time. So what
you're trying to say, they need some skin in the game, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great way of saying it. And what I encourage parents to do is to step back, not completely, not so that the kids drown, but enough so that the kid ends up owning the conflict. And it may take a few years, but they get there.
Well, that's very interesting, you know, because even, you know, my youngest one is 21, and I used to, like, book all his doctor's appointments. I'm like, here's the three doctors you might want to choose, you know. And
wow,
you know, if you have any questions, you know, or you need help, you know, I can go with you, but you need to ask me. So I'm trying to, like, slowly taper away my responsibility because I think at this point he needs to, you know, start taking some initiative. But that's really hard for kids.
It's
so
hard for kids, and it's
slowly,
hard for parents, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now,
it
I know that you talk about the three C's of motivation. Talk to us about that.
Well, that's how, you know, what I've done is I've taken the research that there's a lot of research on motivation in the field, but not very much of it is done on kids, on teenagers. So I've tried to tailor it to the needs of the developmental needs of teenagers. So I have taken some of these findings and call it the three C's, which is competence, control, and connection. These are the things that help people to develop internal motivation. We ultimately want them to be motivated from within, not externally. It's hard sometimes to be motivated to do your history homework or your math homework if it's not that interesting to you personally. Sometimes it has to be external. But if we feel a sense of competence that we're good at something, then we're going to be more likely to want to do it. And the way we help kids to feel competent is to focus not on the achievement, on the outcome of what they're doing, but on the process. It's more important not to focus on the victory or the medal or the honor, but to focus on, or the grade even, but to focus on how they got there. So telling kids, wow, you really worked hard, is so much more effective than telling them, wow, you're really smart.
I love that. I do want to remind any of our listeners that are just tuning in, starting their day in a positive way, waking up with us here. We're so glad that you are here. And, of course, we're talking with Dr. Adam Price. His book, He's Not Lazy, Empowering Your Son to Believe in Himself. I love that, believe in himself, because once you believe in yourself and you love who you are, which really for boys seems to take a lot longer, although girls have their own struggles, that's a whole other conversation, but you know, it's kind of like they're on the fence until they start to achieve things. And I think that this is a great book. Is this your first book or have you written many?
No, it's my first book. I've been very fortunate to be able to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. I've done some writing for magazines and newspapers, and I have a blog on Psychology Today, but this is the first book. I just wanted to pick up real quick with the other two C's, if you don't mind. The second,
please.
I'll be quick. The second C, because these are the ways that kids do believe in themselves and come to believe in themselves. So the first C was competence. The second is control, which is, and we already talked about that, it's giving kids autonomy to make decisions for themselves, but then to be held accountable for the consequences. So that they feel like they're in control, but you can't just let kids do whatever they want. No one can do that. So that's providing structure for them, but not being the helicopter parent that's too controlling. And the third thing, which is the most important, is competence, is connection. Having a warm parent-child connection is so important, but it's really hard with teenagers. So when parents are fighting so much about the kids' grades, it interferes with that. So I talk a lot in the book about how to connect to kids, how to be empathic with them, how to help them to set up their own goals so that they feel like you're their ally and not their adversary.
I love that. You know, it's interesting. You talk with so many kids and they're like, my mom is really hard on me. I don't think she believes in me. Or, you know, my dad's just so hard on me. I don't think he likes me. I'm like, how could he not like you? You know what I mean? But that's how they feel. And they don't feel like they have a support team behind them. And so I think as a parent, we have a huge job in the sense that we have to believe in them at the same as support them. And that's really hard because if you feel like they're not doing their best, it's kind of almost like walks into a marriage relationship with your children. You know, I know my oldest daughter, I remember there was a time that somebody said, you just need to kind of cut those apron strings and start a new relationship. And once I learned that, oh, my God, it was a whole different ball game instead of me trying to run her life.
You know, Kim, you hit the nail on the head. Parenting is the most the parent-child relationship is the most intense, important relationship we have in life, and we bring so much of ourselves to it, and we invest so much in it and in our kids. And sometimes those boundaries do get blurred, and I actually have a chapter on that in the book. But the message I want parents to hear is that parenting is really hard, and you have to start by being compassionate with yourself as a parent. You have to be willing as a parent, I call it being competent at being incompetent. You have to be willing to make mistakes as a parent in order to have compassion for your kids and in order to model for them and show them that you can make mistakes. You don't have to get it right. It's, again, about the process, and in this case, it's about the relationship. And when parents are able to trust, not their teenager, I would never tell a parent to completely trust their teenager.
Right, yeah, no.
You'll
if
never
their mouth's
see your
moving,
car again.
It's not probably going to be good. No,
but,
right?
Exactly. But to trust the relationship, that's what's important.
Right. I know we barely have any time, and I wanted to just, you know, what if your teenager has ADD or ADHD? That's a whole nother ballgame, isn't it?
I'm glad you asked that question because it's one of the reasons I wrote this book. I think there was a gap in what we do for kids. We use medication, which is very helpful. There's some behavioral, you know, techniques we use. But what we don't talk about is all the psychology of motivation. And so I think that parents who have kids who have ADD need this book even more because it helps them to deal with a motivation. And real quickly, what happens is that when kids are young and they have ADD or a learning disability, we support them so much because they need it. They get to be teenagers, they still need the support, but they reject it, they don't want it, and that's where developing other techniques and approaches comes in.
I love this. I love it. I love what you're talking about. I think this is so imperative for parents to listen and also to read your book. Where do we find your book?
It's online, obviously at Amazon.com. It's at your favorite independent bookstore. I always want to support independent bookstores.
Absolutely. Yep.
You can check out my website, he'snotlazy.com or dradamprice.com, and I also have a blog on psychology today called The Unmotivated Teen.
Oh, love it. And I'd love to hook up with you again and have you back on because there's so many good things that I love to talk about with our kids and just support our parents as well. Again, please share our show too, Kim Pagano Show, and we have a podcast, and that's on iTunes/The Kim Pagano Show. Again, thank you so much, Dr. Adam Price, for being a guest here on The Kim Pagano Show.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure, Kim.
You have a great rest of your day.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.
What does it mean to be human? Award-winning playwright Nick Payne of Constellations explores this question in the West Coast premiere of Incognito, playing at Rubicon Theater September 13th through October 1st. Directed by Indie Award-winning director Catherine Farmer of the Niebrock Trilogy, Incognito received an Outer Critics Circle Award nomination for Outstanding New Off-Broadway Play last year. Incognito will leave you thinking and feeling long after seeing this profoundly touching drama. Incognito runs Wednesdays through Sundays. For tickets, call 805-667-2900, 667-2900, or go to RubiconTheater.org.
Diana J. Anthony of Big Rich Realty and Bolt Equities Incorporated is a hardworking broker. With 23 years of experience in Ventura County, from Westlake to Carpinteria, experience isn't expensive, it's priceless. Diana started her real estate career in Hawaii and then in Malibu. Her specialties are educating buyers and sellers about the pitfalls in this ever-changing market. Additionally, she has extensive experience with short sale transactions, foreclosures, commercial and investment property. When you hire Diana, you will be gaining a friend for life with a heart of gold and a world of knowledge. Visit her website, dianajanthony.net, or call 805-340-6135. That's 805-340-6135. California BRE 01190308.
Ventura Water is dedicated to providing our community with quality water and wastewater services 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We've been delivering drinking water from local sources since 1923, cleaning wastewater for more than a century, and preventing stormwater pollution for the past two decades. Ventura Water, a trusted life source for generations. For more information about Ventura Water, visit us at www.venturawater.net or call 805-667-6500. That's That's 805-667-6500.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
I'm really excited to have our next guest on. Pam Farrell has many, many books. And actually, one of my listeners, if there's somebody that you are love, that you loved watching them, meeting them, or that you would love to have on my show, that's how I found out about Pam. And one of my listeners called me and said, oh my God, Kim, you will love her and her husband and definitely have them on. So today I welcome Pam Farrell and, of course, her book, Seven Simple Skills for Keeping Everything Together. And Pam, are you there? Welcome and thank
I
you so
am.
Much. How are you?
Hi. It's been fun listening to your show. I'm so excited because we're going to be moving up to your area.
I know.
So I get to be friends and listeners. You have some great guests.
Well, thank you so much. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know it's you and your husband, and you do a lot of different things. I can't wait to work with you on some of your marriage, seminars, right?
Mm-hmm. That would be very fun. Yes. Bill and I, we have an organization called LoveWise, the connection between love and wisdom, helping people with all their vital relationships. And we have been happily married now for 37, going on 38 years. We got married very young.
I like that.
And we have three sons. They're grown now and leaders in their field, and a couple of little grandkids running around. So the payoff, right, for not killing your kids as they grow up. No, just joking.
There, yeah. I love
it. We do love the grandkids. And yeah, we are going to be moving up your direction because those folks live in the area and they're getting older. They just need a little bit more love and care up close and personal.
So I love it.
We're
I love
moving
it.
That
Did
direction.
You sell your house?
Well, we hope to sign papers today.
Oh, good. Okay,
so
perfect.
It's a good
okay,
day.
That was the last time I talked to you. Okay, good. So, in success in life, really simple, okay? Is it simple?
Now, life may not be easy, but it can be simple.
Okay.
And so looking for the simple ways to succeed in life. So what I did is I looked at women who were successful, and I started observing what traits, what skills they had down that helped them achieve success. And I put it in a little acrostic. So women who want success, and Bill has the complimentary book, Seven Simple Skills for Every Man, Success and Keeping It All Together. So the seven skills are: she is steadfast when she becomes reliable, trust is built, and doors of opportunity fly open. When she's knowledgeable and applies that wisdom, then she can discover and achieve that vital information that she needs to plan and then live out success. When she's intentional, and I pick up that you're very intentional, Kim.
Thank you.
She becomes proactive, she stops waiting for life to happen to her, and she helps create.
Goes out and gets it.
Though.
There you go.
That's
I
right.
like it. Okay.
That's right. I saw on your webpage that sometimes you have to make your own sunshine. Love that on your Facebook.
Thank you. Yeah.
And then likable, when she has good relationship skills, she's able to build that success net of people around her that help her and cheer her on.
Mm-hmm.
And then lively, when she becomes healthy, when your last guest was talking about that, she'll gain energy, drive, power, that good health to live out those dreams. And then effective, when she learns how to become proactive and maximize her time, then she can see some tangible fruit for all that hard work she's doing. And then lastly, decisive, when she becomes naturally decisive, life does seem easier. Your emotions calm down, and you just become more efficient at living out your goals.
So I'm curious, Pam, because this is for a successful woman, and I know this is probably across the board, but there are many women in business that are very successful as well as men. How do you translate that also into your relationship? Because you do also have LoveWise. So I'm curious, because a lot of successful women are not successful, and men are not successful in their love life.
You're mm-hmm. absolutely right. It's called mm-hmm. balance, right?
Yes.
How do we find balance? Good question,
That's
Chad.
That's really, really good. Because it really, becoming LoveWise, It really means that you prioritize the people in your world, and not everybody deserves the same access to you. For example, my mom, she gave birth to me, so I answer her cell phone calls right away. My husband, when I said I do, he deserves higher priority. Mm-hmm. My children, my grandchildren, if I am have a business relationship and I've made a commitment, those come first. And so by prioritizing people, you honor them. And when people feel honored, that relationship is protected. And that's things good. Go a little bit better.
I yeah? like that a lot. Yeah. I mean, it's called boundaries kind of too, right?
That's right. And then being proactive, like we encourage couples to really invest in your relationship by taking some time. And the acrostic for how much time does it take to have a red hot relationship? Tea would be 10 to 20 minutes a day for chat time, just to touch base, to stay connected. I would be invest in a weekly date night. And it can be at home or you can go out, either one. It's just saying that this next couple hours is ours. We found, Bill and I, that we actually need two of those. One is like a date, romantic, I'm just his lover kind of thing. The other one's a business meeting, and it's early right. in the morning. We work out together. We go to breakfast. We handle the business side of life.
Wow, I like that. Two different mornings, because sometimes I'm like all about business. My husband's like, seriously, can we?
But, I like that she mentioned, because I do work out with my partner as well from time to time, and it is almost like a date.
I mean,
being in the same area, your experience, a very similar experience, your blood is flowing. I mean, there's not much better.
Right. Okay.
And then the M is a monthly day away. That's just kind of unplug, get away from technology.
Wow, monthly.
Remember why you like spending time with the ones that you love. Mm. And then E is escape. Once a year, just escape. We encourage, if you can, pull it off twice a year for 24 to 48 hours. One of them is for like a marriage conference to get some new tools in your toolbox. The other would be just to rest, recharge, you know, totally chill, and remember why you first fell in love. And you need both of those. If you have lots of tools in your relationship toolbox, then when something hard circumstance or an obstacle hits, you have some tool to work on your relationship. But sometimes you're arguing just because you're tired. Just having that time to look forward to and taking a nap.
That is so true, huh?
Wonder.
You're probably doing that right now.
I know. We're walking that right now.
I know. You know what? I have to give my husband credit here, because, and you'll love this, Pam. He's in a huge deadline crunch right now, you know, with his business. And he said, honey, I just want to tell you that I love you so much. And if I forget or I get angry or I get stressed in the next couple, six weeks, I want you to remind me, because that is not what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my God.
You're like, who are you?
Yeah, I know. but that is. And I was like, okay, that really makes it's called communication. It's called letting me know where you're at that time.
And wonderful.
So, yeah, it was really like, wow, yeah, okay, I'm good to go.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly. Sometimes if we just have light at the end of the tunnel, you know, 6 weeks from now, honey, we'll celebrate this, making it to the deadline, and I just want you to know I love you. Thanks for hanging in there with me.
Yep.
And we'll have a party at the end together. Sometimes that's all you need, is just a little bit of hope on the horizon.
Wow, yeah. So let me ask you, I know that you have, three simple questions, right, that help women grasp the ability to love in a healthy way. What are those three questions?
Well, actually, like three simple questions that'll help you in all of life, and that is check in with your inner GPS and ask before you say or do anything. Ask, does this show respect to God? If you're a person of faith, good. It would be another way to frame it. Does this show honor and goodness? And the second is, does this show honor to people, others? And then does this show honor to self? Are you doing some self-care? And if you can answer yes to all three of those things, then it's a green light. It's a good to go. decision or choice. And that's how we raise our kids, you know, just check in with that inner GPS. They just show honor to God, people, and self.
That's so interesting. Good. Yeah, I really like that. Dr. Angie, do you have any questions for Pam?
I'm taking notes.
I can see that over there.
Because I'm totally stressed out with this event, and my husband and I, we've decided, I have an event, but the weekend after, it's like we've created this getaway because I'm like, honey, you'll get your wife back in another week, another 6 days.
I know, yeah, because everything gets, and you know what, and we have to live our life and live our goals
and our dreams.
You know, exactly.
We have to go for it.
And you want that support from your partners of, you know, so now if you could just talk a little bit about what are some of the other books that you have, because I'm excited to have you back. I can't even wait. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Our bestseller is Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti, and that's oftentimes how folks know who we are and about us. It's been translated into 15 different languages and about 400,000 copies in the United States have sold. It's just a fun look at gender differences and how to make those differences work for you in all your relationships. And we have a marriage version, a singles version, and a teenage version of that, as well as a DVD, so you can do it with your spouse or in a small group of friends. And we've written 45 books. So
wow. And, of course, we're talking with Pam Farrell and, of course, her book and all her stuff. And I know that you had a couple of questions. Go ahead.
Sure. So, Pam, when you were talking about, you know, it's so good to have great communication, and then when life happens, like a cancer diagnosis, what advice would you give to couples that are walking through some hardships? I mean, life can be very difficult sometimes.
Exactly. And, you know, I would even put myself and my husband in that category this last year, driving back and forth and back and forth and back and forth across Los Angeles from San Diego, caring for his aging parents.
Yeah.
Has put an extra stress, you know, on life. But we actually have gotten tighter, closer, rather than being pulled apart. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why is we just have a marriage meeting every Monday morning, and we look at our family mission statement, our motto. We kind of review that, and we say, how can we live that out this week? And then we look at the responsibilities, and we say, how can we help each other succeed this week? And
love that.
And we pray and encourage each other. We affirm each other and thank each other for what happened last week. And then we ask this question daily for our relationship and for all of our life, and that is, how can I be a life giver? And even working with my in-laws, an example of how to be a life giver, we Dad needed some extra help and some rehabbing, and he was at that place in his insurance care where they didn't want to put him in any facilities, but he really couldn't live on his own. And our son came to us, and he was 20 at the time, and he said, you know, I have 3 weeks here between when I graduated from college and when I go on to my master's degree. My grandpa is a wonderful, you know, aeronautic engineer. I'm an engineer. Wow. We have a lot in common. I'm a strong football player. How about I go rehab, Grandpa? How about I be the life giver? And, you know, it was just the sweetest thing to see what happened in that relationship as he stepped forward and said, you know, Mom and Dad, you've been carrying it for a while. Let me be the life giver. And, you know, by having a family that shows up for each other like
right,
that and taking turns, nobody gets as exhausted because we're all asking, how can I help the other out?
So Pam, I have a question because I'm 38. My son is still 8 years old. A Monday morning meeting sounds amazing, but in my reality would never happen because I'm rushing around.
Well, Monday, maybe
and
Tuesday.
I get its priorities, but honestly, me running a nonprofit rescue and my partner being a very active lawyer and then us having an eight-year-old son who's very active in school and sports, being 38 and doing all that, how do you get that Monday morning meeting in there?
Now, when we were raising our kids, it was a Sunday night.
Okay.
And it's Sunday night at our house, would sound something like this. All right, we're a team. Everybody in the living room. Okay, we're going to color code our calendar. And, you know, mom gets pink and dad gets blue and, you know, Caleb gets green and red, et cetera. And we color coded our calendar. I mean, we carried a lot of responsibilities. My husband was a pastor. We were running several organizations in our community. We were writing, we were speaking. All three of our sons played three sports. So we had a lot
huge.
Going
that,
on.
Yeah. It's a Sunday night.
So we color-coded
that Sunday,
calendar.
The end of the week, you reflect on your day, your week, and what you're doing for the year next, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like that.
We're all scheduling Sunday.
Sunday,
yeah. No, a lot of people have family meetings, and I think that that's really
good. No, I think they're great.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Just coming together, I think, is the key.
Being on the same page.
Yeah,
right?
Make it fun, like pop some popcorn, do all the business stuff, but then like maybe play a game or, you know, watch a funny show together. So make it so it's just like not boot camp. Okay?
Pam, you said that you have grandchildren now. So that means, you know, obviously your kids are older. Do they do this in their life?
They do. It's very interesting. We had a family mission statement, a family motto, a family moniker or crest. So they're raised to be very proactive, and they have one of each of those. They each have written their family mission. They have it posted next to their front door. They each have family meetings. Some are more casual than others. Sometimes, you know, one of my sons is a very busy coach for a top 10 college. And so sometimes their family meetings are, okay, it takes 20 minutes to drive to campus. Let's go together. We'll check off our list. We'll hit the calendar. So they maximize their time in the car even.
Pam, where do we find your book?
Our website is love-wise.com. But it's all of our 45 books are pretty much at any of the online realtors and any of the online, you know, book sale places like Amazon or Barnes & Noble and those kind of places.
Well, thank you so much. I hope that you share our show. I can't wait for you to move up here, and I'd love to have you on with some of your other books. So thank you again for joining us.
That sounds terrific. You guys have a great day.
You too. All right. Thank you so much. We are at the end of our first hour. And of course, I always end my show with a moment of happiness. Better to get hurt by the truth than confronted with a lie. Ooh, that's a good one. So again, I do want to remind you that we are here. We've got a whole nother hour left, and I hope that you'll be joining us. Again, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.